Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we're gathered here to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The introit is next, and we're going to use a different melody. When I am afraid, in God's word I praise. I've lost. I must perform my vows to you, O God. For you have delivered my soul from death. Yes, my feet from falling. Father, and to the Son, as it was in the beginning, when I am afraid, Lord. The Lord be with you. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and always ready to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour down on us the abundance of your mercy. Forgive us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and give us the good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except by the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Let me mention on the introits, there are many, many melodies, and we never know how they were sung in the Old Testament times, but these are the psalms were always sung, and that's why we sing the introit on Sundays. Anyway, our first reading today comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of the time, Cain brought forth to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground from which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it no longer yield to you in strength. For you shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and the wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest anyone who found him should attack him. This is the word of the Lord. Our second lesson comes today from, we do the gradual, right? He will command his angels concerning you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The second lesson is from 2 Timothy. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. 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 The Holy Gospel today is recorded by the Gospel writer Luke in chapter 18, begins at verse 9. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you, I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes to all I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. But he beat his breast, saying, God, be mercy to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to the house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now they were bringing even infants to him that Jesus might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus said to them, saying, Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The Nicene Creed, I believe in one God. You may be seated for the next hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. Amen. If some of the local evangelists can tell a funny story before the sermon, then I can too, right? It has absolutely nothing to do with the sermon. But the general was sent onto the front line, and he had barely gotten there, and a sniper took a shot at him and picked off one of the buttons off of his uniform. He was so scared, he fell on the ground in fear. And the other soldiers were standing around, and the general said, "Get that sniper, get that sniper." And they said to him, "General, if we get that sniper, they're going to get somebody in here can shoot. Won't just get buttons next time." Anyway, if Joel Osteen can do it, I can do it too. Next Sunday is Reformation Day. We'll observe it on the October 30th. I hope you'll have a great celebration. The text of the Reformation gives us the idea and understanding that we are justified by grace. That there's nothing that we do that merit God's love and forgiveness. He does this all because he has a great heart for sinners, and that includes you and includes me. He does it also by grace. We cannot in any way earn favor with God. He has already found favor with us. He is already in love with us. And then we know also, too, that we find out all of this only by the Holy Scriptures. And we trust the Holy Scriptures to tell us like it really is. And God's Word doesn't lie to us. But we live in a world that is kind of confused, if I could say minimally so. I don't know what he preached on last week, but last Sunday in chapter 18 of Luke's Gospel, the parable asks a question, because it's a widow, persistent widow. Do you recall that? Going to the judge, and she wants him to do what he's supposed to do, She's a persistent widow. She demands that her case be heard and that she get justice. Well, that judge wasn't going to do it because he had no care for God or man. He didn't care. Yet because that woman kept coming to him persistently, give me justice, then he did it. He saw to it she had justice. And that idea that last week was, it comes from the small amount that judge who does nothing because he doesn't care for God, unto the Heavenly Father, the greater, who does everything for us because he loves us and has given his life for us. But we live in a dangerous time, and I thought about that widow thinking about the parable last week when I preached on it. Perhaps maybe your pastor covered it. But the idea is that we live in a world that is so confused it makes no sense. And we have a Roman Catholic president, we have a Roman Catholic Speaker of the House. Both of them deny the rights of children of the unborn. And yet, the scriptures are clear that when Mary came to Nazareth, or near Bethlehem rather, to visit Elizabeth, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy at the presence of his Lord, who was in Mary's womb also. Those two unborn were communicating with each other. John the Baptist leaped for joy within his mother's womb at the very presence of Mary bringing Jesus in her womb. It's amazing, isn't it? And then also, what else goes on in our world today? We got men marrying men, women marrying women. Even the ELCA church, you can actually be a homosexual man or even a lesbian lady and serve in a congregation as the pastor. They do it. So many people are so aggravated at it. Many of the people in the Missouri Senate, people have come to us because they don't want to be a part of that any longer. TV and television and film stars, they are flaunting the ungodly things that they do in their personal life. It's almost unspeakable. And then you have the young sexual deviation of the young taking boys and letting them think that they may be girls girls, maybe boys. Goodness gracious, when I was growing up, I didn't know what I was and didn't care. But by the time I got to be a teenager, I knew. I knew. So why are we doing surgery and drugs on those kids? Because it's nonsense. It's the silliness of the world in which we live. Everything's all screwed up. The government wants to remove the rights of parents to have some control about what the teachers are teaching in school. One man I saw on television this week, maybe yesterday, I think it was, he was reading part of what he read in the book of the library in the elementary school to the school board. And there were parts of that he says, I cannot read because I don't want you to hear it out loud what is in this. But he gave him a good idea. One mother read a book, of course, and began to tell them, listen to what your library now has and the books. You don't want your children to read those things. They'll come by those stuff, that terrible things, and later on. Also, we have couples living together. Even in the church, we have couples living together without being married. They would tell us things will be okay, but it's not going to be okay. Young couples that come to the pastor to be getting ready to be married, and you find out that they're living together, and they've been living together for 2 or 3 years, and now they're going to get married. They've even had the children be the ring bearer. It ought not be. Drugs, they're all over. And these young kids think they're getting something that's going to help them study better, and they think they're going to get Ritalin or something like that, or maybe some other drug like a Valium or something like that to help them with the nerves. And they end up taking those pills that are colored like candy, the fentanyl. It kills them dead. They don't have a second chance. And parents aren't even aware of it. Really bad people are crossing our border in the South. I know there's a lot of great people, a lot of great people there too. But there's some serious problems there. Our government managed at the border managed to find many of them that are actually on the watch list. Can you imagine? And people aren't coming just from Mexico. They're coming from all over. Nigeria, Iran, Iraq, places that could be bad. One of the pastors in our circuit, his son committed suicide because the girls at school told him how miserable he was, how lousy he was. He didn't fit. And the boy believed them and took his own life. See, pastors aren't immune to those kinds of things either. It happens to us too. So, lack of incarceration of these violent criminals, you know. You can't keep doing it. You can't keep letting them out of jail so they can hurt somebody else. But you got religiosity in the world today too, don't you? You got a Pharisee that says he comes into the temple and he wants to recognize the fact that wants God to recognize the fact that he's there. He's so proud to be there, of course, and he exercises his religiosity. See, God, I'm here. I'm in the temple. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not unjust like the people around me. I'm not like this despised tax collector over there either. I'm very good. I'm a very religious, I'm a holy man. I'm a righteous person. Everyone else is sinners, and I thank God I'm not like them. Look what I've done, God, for you. I fast more than's required. I give my tithe better than anyone else. And I do all these good deeds to avoid all evil. It proves that I'm a better person. They're sinners, but not me. I had a lady in the congregation tell me almost the same thing back at Mount Olive years ago. She said, well, I'm not like these people that do bad things, that shoot people or hurt people or steal things. I said, the reality is, though, we are still sinners before a heavenly righteous God who demands perfection and holiness. And then you get this guy comes in too. Well, wait a minute, before I tell you that, let me see. I, I had a quote for you. Many years ago, when Hillary Clinton was running for president, she was at the Al Smith Dinner in New York. I saved the quote. She said this, "I believe how we treat others is the highest expression of faith and service. I'm not Catholic, I'm Methodist. But one of the things that we share is the belief that in order to achieve salvation, we need both faith and good works." That's how we achieve salvation. It comes by God's grace, God's mercy, without us doing good works to earn it. The Pharisee goes to the temple, he saw all of his good works. The tax collector comes in, and he recognizes the fact. He said, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." I changed that in the gospel reading. Did you hear it? Not a sinner. I changed it to the sinner because the Greek says he recognizes that he is not just a sinner among many. He recognizes that he himself is a sinner. He deserves no mercy. But then he prays, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." That's what the Greek tells us in the text today. That second stanza of the... by the way, I haven't heard Rock of Ages in years. How about y'all? Y'all ought to sing. We ought to sing it more often. But Rock of Ages, second stanza. "Not the labor of my hand can fulfill the law's demand. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. All the tears I can cry, all the laws I can keep, all of the things that I can do, I think, for myself, does not count before the Heavenly Father. Instead, what counts before the Heavenly Father is His Son, Jesus Christ, who has taken that sinner, that miserable publican, an official of the state, who people hated, took that sinner and forgave him his sins because he was before a merciful God, as you and I are before a merciful God. Not only is he merciful in the way he speaks, but in the way he acts. For our merciful God has given his most precious gift in order to redeem us, to atone for our sins. He gives us His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus dies. We don't. He dies a death carrying all the sins, but we don't die carrying our sins because we have grace and mercy that comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the text today, the parable emphasizes a couple things. It says to whoever lifts up himself will be the one who degrades himself or comes abased, comes sorrowful, he will be exalted. Before the Heavenly Father, those who come in faith in Christ. The Holy Spirit calls us to repentance, all of us. Pastors, too, have to be careful. We come with our egos and our, we're sinners, too. And we have to realize that when we come, we also must come as holy people of God, holy servants of the Most High, that we carry no benefits of our own, no great spiritual knowledge that we have, but what the Holy Spirit hasn't already revealed it to us. And we must also remind our people that at the end of their life, it is not the end. It is not the end. A week ago, I had a funeral. That lady had been baptized in the Lutheran church many years ago and had been confirmed, but I bet she hasn't darkened the doors of a church since. Her children, I don't know if they were baptized or not, don't know anything about them. And yet I realize that what saves her is the water of holy baptism, where God has forgiven her her sins and washed away all of them, even the ones she would commit or we would commit at the end of our lives. Can you think of this? I remember one time one of the members of the congregation in Bible class said, "Well, we have to live a good life. I mean, God doesn't want us doing evil." I said, "No, He doesn't want us to do evil. But suppose he caught you, suppose you were robbing someplace, and you robbed a 7-Eleven or whatever, and took their money. Suppose in the process you were killed. Would you go to heaven? Were you a child of God? Had you done something wrong? Yes. Are you any different than the sinner that comes to the house of worship and prays, God, be merciful to me, the sinner? You see, sinners do bad things even at the end of their lives. It's a true fact that even at the end of my life, I may be screaming and yelling. I'm hurting. I'm in pain. I hate everybody. I hate all the doctors. I hate everybody. Don't even want to see the pastor, but I need him. And he comes in to give me comfort. At the end of my life, I'm still a sinner. And you are too. But we're covered by the blood of Christ. We're forgiven by the waters of holy baptism. We've been nourished with the Lord's Supper given to us to eat and to drink. So we have a taste of Him. We can feel Him. We can taste Him. And then that's not the end, and that's what I reminded these folks at the funeral. On the last day, God will raise this person, I won't name him, this person from the dead. Not only her, but all of the people in the cemeteries, all of them will be raised from the dead. And those believers in Christ will be taken to the eternal rest, be given to us. The life everlasting. Those, of course, not so, who do not have faith in Christ. All will be risen. All will be raised. Some to everlasting life, some to everlasting death. Well, you know, there's another interesting thing I found in this parable that I want to share with you, too. Jesus, at the end of the parable, he said, there were young children. The parents were bringing their kids to Jesus. They wanted him to touch him. Touch him. I want you to hold up my child. I want you to put your hand on my child. Then the disciples said, "Man, this is nonsense. Jesus doesn't have time to fool with you guys. Let the children go to kindergarten or something. Get them out of here. We don't need them there." Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them." Do you know that word, little children, tebrephi? That's actually a word that means even an infant in the womb. You know that? Even an infant in the womb is also part of that Greek word translating young children, te brephi. It refers to unborn. It refers to new infants. It refers to children all the way up to teenagers. Then they get a different name. But the fact is that children believe in Jesus. Now you say, how can that be? They don't have a mind that knows all this. We don't have to have a mind that knows everything about God. God in His mercy has done it for us. He has given us our faith. And the faith of the little children will grow as we bring them to church and Sunday school and where they come to know Jesus even more personally. Don't hinder them, Jesus said. Let the children come to me. Don't hold a single one back. Bring them all. I remember years ago, I had a couple wanted to have their child baptized, and some of the elders told her she couldn't do it. She hadn't been in church long enough. I said, "What's the matter with you?" I told the elder, put him aside. I said, "Let me decide, not you. And have that children come to me." That's what Jesus would say, and we did. We had that child baptized. It wasn't long. I tried to cover up the wrong that had been done, and I encouraged them. Well, what do you do after you've had a long day at work? Now, all you people are all retired now. None of you working. I don't. Robbie, you may be the only one with a job here. You've got to support the rest of us. We're all on Social Security. We need your income. You get that. You get working on that. We need that. The reality is we come home from work. We're tired. We're ready for a rest. And that's what Jesus gives to the humble publican sinner. Rest from his deeds. Rest from his labors, rest from trying to please God. He didn't have to, because God accepts miserable sinners like you and me. But home can have its own problems too. I know sometimes you don't realize it, but pastors look forward to going home too. So when I leave you, I'm heading home. I like to go there as quick as I can because I get there, I take my nap. So how do you want to go home? That's the question I used in the bulletin today. Do you want to go home as a proud sinner, proud of all the good things you've done? Or do you want to go home as one who has been penitent, who's been humbled by the gospel, recognizes the law has worked, and now the sins that we carried with us are now all been forgiven us. So that's the message today I wanted to bring to you. Having received all those blessings, God gives to us His Word and His sacraments in order to give us rest. Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus came to give all of us a joyful homecoming. Not only now as we come to church, but also on our last day, when we receive the last words of Christ given to us, probably by the pastor who comes and visits to us. Son, daughter, your sins are forgiven. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, may keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Do you rise for the prayers of the day? If so, stand up. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For childlike hearts to receive the gifts of God at the gracious invitation of Christ and to humbly to pray with repentance and faith, saying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the church here in every place. For pastors, that God would defend them from arrogance and pride and strengthen their preaching. And that all God's children would be united in saving faith. Let us pray to the Lord. For a deep care for children entrusted to us, that we would defend their lives even before birth. For parents, our Lutheran schools, our Sunday schools, our Bible classes, and our youth confirmation classes, that by them the little children would be brought to Jesus and preserved in the faith, and for humility to receive the kingdom of God like a little child. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That the leaders of our nation may abhor wickedness and boastfulness, fulfilling their duties with diligence and humility, and governing according to God's will. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who are near death, that God would preserve them from despair and give them confident hope in the resurrection promises that have risen, Lord. For everyone in need, especially those who are in our prayer list, that you would be gracious and merciful to them and give them what they need. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who come to the holy altar this day, that they would receive the very body and blood of Jesus in repentance and faith to their abundant blessings, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. O Lord, if we trust in ourselves for righteousness, we're lost and dead in our sins. Yet you mercifully draw us to yourself in repentance and hear the cries of those who trust in your Son. Grant us humility that we may not exalt ourselves or treat our brothers and sisters with contempt. Rescue us from every evil and bring us to your kingdom as your beloved children. To you alone be all glory, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Hymn 610. We rise. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give Him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the flesh, and you laid on him our sin, giving him unto death that we might not die eternally. And because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and you made his life, his cross, a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink the fruits of his cross and receive the blessing of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant, which has been shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." The blood of Christ, given into death for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus strengthen and preserve you in true faith to life everlasting. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you always his peace.
Amen. Amen.
Savior, again. Sit down, you may.